Indians. I have not been given a list of the rest of the girls that you are with. I'm just abusing the fact that I know Terry. And but you'll just give a small little introduction of the team that is with him and try to talk to the politics of this amendment so that we are clear with what is happening. Welcome, Honorable Shimambu. You are welcome to this meeting. Yes, and also you are welcome to make any input when we engage to better our product out of this engagement. So thank you very much. I think we can proceed with the PPG chairperson.
Okay, thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members. I've already briefed Honorable Zimbabwe in the plenum about this bill, and he indicated that he's not part of the aspect of
it. It's not a diplomatic declaration.
But let me stop for just for other members of the commission who couldn't make it. And apparently all the commissioners who are there, Commissioner Mashimini, Commissioner Finger, and Judge Makanya have got other commitments and therefore could not join us. The school has also already apologized, he could not make it. But represented here is myself as the vice chairperson of the commission. And on my right is Sai Namabolo, who is the Deputy CEO responsible for electoral matters. And on my left is Edwin Gentry, who is the manager in the CEO's office. And then also with us and the colleagues from the Department of Home Affairs, and Sangonia, and Mr. Sidele Major. Thank you very much, Chair. Once again, Chairperson. It's always a great pleasure and gratitude for us to appear at the commission before this committee, largely because we had a lot of support for the commission, from this commission. And I also need to indicate from the beginning that the Electoral Commission Act, Section 5J, charged the commission with continuously reviewing the electoral legislation and proposed electoral legislation and make recommendations in connection there. It is within this context, therefore, that we come in here to talk to the committee about the Municipal Electoral Amendment Bill. This bill has gone through a particular process, went through extensive discussion amongst ourselves as a commission with all structures within our organization. After this, we met with the party liaison committees representing all represented political parties. We have discussed with them. We've also discussed with the Department of Cooperative Governance. And apart from that, we had discussions also with the South African Local Government Association, SALGA. And we also submitted this to the subcommittee of the cabinet almost a month ago or so. The main purpose of the amendment bill, as you would have noticed, it is largely to refine a few things that are minor but significant in terms of our processes. Some of the issues that we deal with there would include, for instance, having to provide for payment of the deposit electronically. As you know, that in terms of the current legislation, we're still relying on bank guaranteed checks. But we see that the world around us is changing on a regular basis, and it's important for us to move in line with it. And the second section deals with the submission again of party lists. And another area is the notification of parties when a candidate appears in more than one party list. But another aspect deals with the situation where the voter, before they cast their vote, makes a mark on the ballot paper and is not happy with with their decision and want to change the decision, and we provide for, giving that particular voter a new ballot paper, because that ballot paper that a voter would have would not have been put into the ballot box in any case. But the details of what we have will be now outlined by the Deputy CEO, Sarah Magula. Thank you.
Thank you. Mindful of the time pressure that we have, I'm going to issue that the Vice Chairperson has already addressed. I would avoid repeating them in the presentation. If we go to slide 3, the object of the bill. Firstly, is to insert and amend certain definitions, which is critical to a proper electoral process, to amend provisions relating to the nomination for candidates in order to provide for the electronic submission of candidates as well as the supporting documents, to provide for different modalities for the payment of electoral deposits, to provide for the notification of interested parties where a candidate has been nominated by more than one party or one person, and to clarify circumstances in which a mass ballot may be cancelled at the instance of a voter, and to clarify the provisions relating to determination and declaration of results of by elections, and lastly, to provide for methods to connect them. On slide 5, the first clause of the amendment bill amends section 1 of the Act in order to define the expression authorized representative and to amend the definition of identity document. The authorized representative is a person who is appointed by the party for purposes of submitting a list of candidates and supporting documents. We want to sharpen that definition so as to deal with situations where we have several persons from the same party claiming to be authorized. So that's the one set of reference we want to introduce. And secondly, the identity document, the definition thereof is being amended to take into account the new smart card ID. We did that, we amended the electoral act, now we need to amend the municipal electoral act for the same purpose. Clause 2 of the bill amends section 14 of the act. Section 14 broadly deals with party lists, and section 17 deals with ward lists. So the two mirror each other to an extent possible. So, just to amend section 14 of the Act in order to provide for an additional modality of submitting of party lists required for parties to contest elections and the associated documents electronically to the chief electoral officer. In other words, we are amending that provision to make it possible for political parties to submit their list of candidates as well as the supporting documents. The supporting document being a copy of the ID as well as an acceptance nomination electronic. It does not take away the possibility to submit at the local office of the commission. However, it's an extra modality that is being provided for. So the language of the Act is being amended so to remove local office rather to say to the commission, because if you submit electronically, you are not submitting through the local office, but you are submitting to the commission. And clause 2 is furthermore amended to provide for the commission to prescribe additional modalities for the payment of election deposits in addition to the current methods of bank guarantee check. We are aware that the banking industry is increasingly moving away from a bank guarantee check, so we need to introduce other other forms and modalities of payment of deposits. Those modalities will be prescribed in the regulations, but they will include, amongst others, electronic funds transfer. And then, clause 2 is further amend section 40 to remove the requirement to submit a notice of intention to contest the relevant election. Hitherto, we've had a requirement to submit a notice of intention to contest together with the party list, the deposit, and supporting documents. We find it to be a superfluous requirement because the notice is being submitted at the same time as the party list themselves. So you also have served the notice before, but they were happening concurrently, and therefore it was a very unnecessary burden on the side of political parties. We are further amending section 14 to provide for the requirement for the chief electoral officer to notify the relevant parties where a candidate's name appears on multiple lists and to afford the parties concerned the opportunity to substitute that candidate and reorder their party list should they wish to exercise, should they elect to do so. Now, we've had situations where a candidate was on the list of party A, party B, and even party C. So what we are introducing here is a requirement for the chief electoral officer to notify the person in the first instance and then those three affected political parties. And should they wish, they would then have an opportunity to substitute that candidate. Now moving to the amendment of section 17, that's clause 3 of the bill. Before I continue, section 14 deals with party lists and section 17 deals with ward candidates. So the two provisions mirror each other to the extent possible. So there will be therefore a repetition of the same issues in cross play. We are providing for additional modality for the submission of nomination documents required for persons to contest ward elections. We are making for a provision to submit such nominations electronically to the chief electoral officer in addition to the current method. We also seek in clause 3 to amend and make provision for the requirement that an independent ward candidate must, together with his or her nomination document, provide the commission with a written photograph of himself or herself in a form prescribed by the commission. So, as we know, in respect of what party, what candidate, we use the emblem of the party, but in respect of independent candidates, we use the photograph. We did not have this provision before, and we received some of the photographs very late. So now we're making it a requirement for the photographs to be made available at the same time as the nomination document attended. And furthermore, clause 3 provides for the requirement for the chief electoral officer to notify relevant parties where a candidate has been nominated by one person or one party, the same as in party list. Now, clause 4 amends section 17A, capital A, to provide for the commission to prescribe additional modalities for payment of electoral participation deposits in addition to the current method of bank guarantee check. This is in relation to an instance where a party makes one national payment for a number of municipalities throughout the country. And then clause 5 amends section 49 of Act to delete the requirement that the voter may return a ballot paper that has not yet been placed in the ballot box to the preparing officer or voting officer and be issued with a new ballot paper only if that voter accidentally marks a ballot in a way that does not indicate for whom the voter wishes to vote. In essence, what we are correcting there is to remove reference to the word accidental. Sometimes it may be because of the fact that the voter has changed his or her mind before depositing the ballot paper into the ballot box. I think the critical element here is that at the time when you request a new ballot, you ought not to have deposited the previous one into the ballot box, because at that moment you have voted. And clause 6 of the bill amends section 64 of the Act to clarify the uncertainty regarding the provision contained in that section for the determination and declaration of results for that to apply to by-elections. The language of the Act excludes a by-election from that determination and declaration of results. So we are broadening the scope of the provision to make reference to by-elections as well. Clause 7, essentially it's a consequential amendment to item 5 of Schedule 3. Schedule 3 is the election timetable. So we are amending the election timetable in order to provide for the requirement for the to remove firstly the notice of intention to contest, and secondly to provide for the actions that the chief electoral officer must take if a candidate is on multiple party lists. Essentially, that is a consequential amendment that arises from clause 2 and clause 4 of the bill. Vice Chair indicated that we have discussed this bill with the National Party Liaison Committee. We have discussed the bill with COFCA, as well as with the South African Local Government Association. The financial implications, the biggest implication financially is for the business application system that we use to capture candidates. The projected cost is 5 million, and that has been budgeted for in the present financial year, and work is underway with respect to that. The last issue around parliamentary procedure, Chair, is a matter that the state law advisor has dealt with, and the bill has been checked as a 75. That's it.
Now, thank you very much, Chris. What do you want us to do?
Okay.
And then, do you have anybody from our legal department? Is there anybody from our legal department? Have you heard the deputy chair of the commission?
From there, it will be in the committee's process to deliberate on the matter Assessment Amendment to 2026 report to the House on a draft bill once the committee has decided on the bill, and from there the normal House voting will run.
Okay, no, thank you very much. Honourable members, I think you have realized that this amendment, it is mainly administrative issues in this amendment. I think there are only two or three sections that are really political. You know, it's the information of political parties and whatever candidates. You know, it's if they are appearing on more and whatever it is. And, you know, it's, there is some political implications and all that. And, but mainly the rest of the amendments, they are technical and administrative. That we have to deal with and then assist them with the administration of the airport. Now, I just need members to get further clarity questions. I'm sure we will actually organize our own time to deliver it on this particular document. But at the moment, we just need to get clarity from their side whether they really mean what they are saying and are they really clear of the implications of what they are saying. Because some of these amendments here is a very additional responsibility on the IEC. And then if they have got correct consciousness of what they bring into the to their table as far. Honorable Shivam.
I think the administrative amendments which are not included into the electoral amendments, the are very useful in terms of what we're going to do. But I think that there are other things that must be potentially looked into. Regarding the number of voters, I think that the IEC must have the capacity to tell us how many people have voted, even if the cluster voting has closed before counting stuff. If there do not be that consideration, that those things that are used to scan people's IDs, there must be a central question that says that these have been given the number of people that have voted and now want to start counting. But these ones, the interventions are correct ones in terms of electronic submissions and payments and being informed when the candidate is appearing on the wrong list or different list and everything. It makes it the way easier for all political parties as well. But I think that as a matter of principle, the IEC must be able to announce at the closure of voting sessions that this is the number of voters that we have who are not going to count. Not counting without knowing how many people have voted, it only gets announced when the results have been announced. It's very problematic. And can cause a lot of instability. So that is one thing that must be dealt with. I don't think that in the preservation, I think we must have to do it in a different way.
Chair, just one question. The first section, the one that deals with the identity document. Now, if I'm reading this correctly, the intention is to remove the provision of the temporary ID used always in previous elections. Now, I understand that there's always the opportunity for Home Affairs to produce that, what do we call it, TIC, TIC, in cases where people have lost their ID, but this is not suggesting that you want to take that away. And if that's the case, I think that might be problematic, unless there's a very good reason why you're suggesting that. I just want to get that answer to that. Thank you, sir.
Okay. And any other? None. From my side, electronic submission of documents. We all know that you can email documents, but they may not reach the intended recipient at the time that it is being emailed. And because of other things, whatever electronic things everybody knows. And now, if the closing date is 12 o'clock midnight, and Honorable Shubambo emailed his list around 11:30 midnight, and then the network does not actually Australia assist you. The network does not assist you. And then eventually, the network comes to life after 12 o'clock. And when you have aimed that you are going to do that electronically, now it is in the middle of the night. You can't even take his BMW and rush to an office because the office is closed. What happened? I'm not, so that really everybody discuss our thing. And then we should be knowing the fact that has been considered in this, it is of course a good development, this one that is actually going with the progress that the country is making in the ICT. But there is this particular nature that the party should not be seen that it has been stopped from participating in election because that sort of network that they wanted to use failed them. And then when you were considering this, what were your discussions, how did you think about that? Just before you respond, I think this looks like Honorable Maxson has also another problem that you want to create for your future.
Thank you, Chair. No, you were caught with my deputy president on the day. I must say that this amendment bill is not counted as national record. Because I was so skeptical, saying, hey, we're approaching local government now, so we are being rushed to look at this document, but I find it not very bad. But one thing that I must also mention is that our experience about the special vote, that where corruption is taking place. Maybe the commission must look at the option of using fingerprints if you are serious about curbing corruption. I don't want to get much, but all of us in the South, we know that during special vote, we know other people are voting on behalf of other people against their will. So for us, if you want progress in this country, we must consider that parliamentary system. The other thing that the commission must look at is, this is not for me for today, is this thing of using such as presiding, what do you call them? Presiding officers. This thing has an impact because we know that SATU is in alliance with COSATU. COSATU is in alliance with SATU is affiliated to COSATU. COSATU is in alliance with the same ruling party of the country. And that thing, if you are serious, if you want us as politicians to accept you as IEC that we have done your work without any thing. You know what I mean? We must look at that one before we go to a revolution. Thank you, Chair.
Well, I think some of the things
I was for today, and then also I think they belong to your participation of committee or whatever. And that is, that's where you know it's a people, you must give them some work in each other. And resolve on those particular matters. But I think in relation to this one, you can respond to those that are direct.
Thank you very much, Chairperson and Honourable Members. Some of the questions you've asked are very, very difficult. So, Sai is the one who should deal with the difficult questions, especially what that came from the chair. But I just wanted to indicate that in relation to the issue that was raised by Honorable Tashirambo of knowing the number of people who have voted by the time voting session closes, it is possible at that voting session to know who many people have actually voted. Now, the other thing that is a big problem is that by the time you go to a municipal office where the information is dropped, in one of your visits that you were talking about earlier on, sometimes it takes much longer, and then people by that time are already now looking at the screen, looking at the performance of their political parties, because some areas by that time have already started now downloading information. So the speed with which we can actually be able to collect that information and make it available, on time, it may be a little bit difficult, but it's something that we should explore. And then we'll see to extent we can be able to do that. And we might be able to give you an indication on the first day to say how many people have voted before you even see the outcome of the final results. situation, I think it is the one that SAI will deal with. The one special book that I take as a recommendation, the one where you send them should actually use, should consider using fingerprints, is something that we should explore and see to what extent we can do to accommodate it. The issue of statute is been a debate in the organization. I think I will just give you an indication. Given the first registration in 1998 as part of the organization, that was the provision of the Officer Committee. 100% of the people that we use were civil servants. So when they come into local organizers, come into the 1999 elections, the people who had experience in terms of running elections were people that we had used in 1998. Remember, they were very close to each other. So we utilized the same pool, even though it was a mixture now, because by the time we went through the 99 elections, we had to literally, you know, to appoint our own people. In 98, government just still service and said, we don't have the process to pay the IEC, we are going to be using this people. But since then, we have reduced the number of this, because the legal parties have been doing this issue for quite some time. We have reduced the number of teachers in favor of the unemployed. From the percentage that I've given you, which was almost 100%, the current figure now is 10 at 8% of the 218,000 electoral staff that we use on the day of elections. So there is progress. We're trying to eventually deal with that particular aspect. But that's how far we've gone in relation to the last elections. But the issue has been raised on quite a number of occasions, and the organization is taking it seriously. We try and find innovative way without necessarily saying we're going to be compromising our process. But we need people who are prepared to understand a process, to understand law at that level of the voting station. But we're doing something about it.
Yeah, that debate to your passages and whatever, because you're going to ask a lot of questions there. But I mean, at the end of the day, all of us members, is that we must strive for our electoral processes to be done with integrity. With integrity. And the main determining factor to that is to have staff or personnel that knows what they are doing. Yeah, Mama will.
I'll deal with the one question. The CIC, our colleague from Home Affairs, will deal with. The issue that you raised has been a major consideration in the party level committee. And how we propose to get around that is the following. The business application on the website will be available to parties in this election, let's say, from the end of January. So parties can begin to capture their candidates and so on and so on. They can change however many times they want to. There'll be a very secure way of granting access into the system. So it won't be any other person. There'll be a one-time password, those types of things to ensure that not everybody can access the application. So from the date on which the election is proclaimed, it is then upon the party to decide that they have now consulted within the party, they've finished everything, and the list is not final. Only at that point they can submit. So the idea is that you go
Shivambo. Honorable Shivambo, comes on the 11th hour to make a submission of this document. Because he spent time trying to process the document and whatever, blah, blah, blah. Then he has not been able to do it in time. Then he comes on the 11th hour and the system does not assist him. Understand that the ministers, all other ones, they will do it 5 days or 10 days before. But suppose the political party has not managed to complete their process in time, and then they finish just about 3 hours before the closing date, and then they want to make that submission. And then the systems and the networks are not given. And the offices are closed. Land offices. But in any way, that you can have, I think you try to respond. Home affairs?
No, I just wanted to respond to the question relating to the temporary identity certificate. So we are still issuing the temporary identity certificate, and just checking on the Identification Act is when an resident applied for an identity card, and for some reason we cannot be able to issue those immediately, and it's required agency, so we were able to issue that. So the amendment to the definition will not affect that process. Thank you.
I think it's Home Affairs. If you look at this amendment on the bill, this temporary identity certificate is being deleted. And tell us how is that accommodated for purpose of voting?
What we are saying is when we say an identity document refers to an identity card in terms of the Identification Act. When you go to the Identification Act, it does say an identity card would mean or include the green barcode as we use now. And if a person, for example, applies for an identity card and for some reason or any purpose, they need, for example, to go and vote, they can apply for an identity, a separate identification certificate. So that is covered within the broad definition of identity cards. So there will not be any implication from the side of, and we have done this also in terms of the Electoral Act. For the national and provincial election, so there will not be any challenges on that.
Okay, so now what it means is that the identity card to make reference to the smart ID card that we're speaking to, the green barcode card, and a temporary identity certificate that will be issued when you are not necessarily the card at that time. Okay, I think that should allay your fear.
We'll deal with it at a later stage.
Okay.
It's not kept it like that here. And all right. Kept it here simply means that you're removing the provision of a temporary identification. I don't know whether you're speaking to the wording or what, but I get the point you're making, but it's not
all right.
Kept it like that here. But we'll deal with it when we
have
the point.
Thank you very much. I think we have heard the presentation. I think you will attend to us with that presentation from us completely. No, let us not run away. Because
yesterday, will it work for you to have the act passed before the local government election? Public hearing and everything. Is it fine?
Well,
Parliament is going to talk very soon. I mean, so that's why
the
Parliament
is here. We're going to appear that this particular process is started as quickly as possible. It's got implications for quite a number of things. It's got implications for Tanzanians. It is also have implications in terms of the term of our staff. So if this is not done as quickly as possible, it will actually affect us, Shibambo says, our process, and then we really have to appeal to lawmakers to make it easier for us.
I would suggest that, because in the shift forum, the program of Parliament is not accommodating of so many things, so many legislations that can pass this year. Maybe as chairperson of the committee, you might find a way of getting to meet the presiding officers with the IEP to see how I want to expedite this process in a way that will make sure that it will be this part before the end of the year.
Okay. So, honorable members, I think we must just understand one thing, is that the legislative process in Parliament, it has got minimum days that it has to take. There are certain things that can't bypass. If you bypass them, the legislation that we have passed will definitely declare null and void. And then it has to go through that particular process. And we will do everything in our power to make sure that we take that minimum period that is acceptable to actually make it a credible piece of legislation. We will do so. And I think we will engage with the legal office. They will actually work out on the process that needs to be done. And we will try to expedite whatever needs to be expedited. I think we need to thank the IEC and those officials from the Home Affairs for having assisted us. Honorable members, I think we have got the report of what we agreed last a week back. You'll remember that one was a petition. No. No, Maxson, don't do that. Don't do that in front of the Deputy President. I think all what the board is saying, that is in front of yourself, is that we are agreeing that the petition has to be forwarded to the Interministerial Committee. That is what the government is in front of you. And it's been distributed. You're all having it, honorable members. Yes, and then is that what the report is saying? In a nutshell, and then can I have the same to move forward of this report?
Yeah, I'm in agreement. I move that we adopt the report.
Has anyone else agreed to the same time in this committee? Is that honorable report? Okay. No, thank you very much, honorable members. Issues of minutes, I think, will deal with in another meeting. Thank you. This meeting then is adjourned. Can you go to the house? Thank you very much for your assistance.